comes to read. Let's just join it together again in prayer. You've caused, Lord God, your wonders to be remembered. We're going to hear about that as your word is read for us this morning by Sam. We pray that you would touch her lips with the fire of your spirit, helping us all as she reads to ponder your word deeply and to delight in it with great joy. Let the truth of your word fill us and flow out of us into living for the sake of others. Everything, Lord God, for the sake of others, that is your good, your holy, and your perfect will. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the table's set here. We come on this Communion Sunday, and one of the things that we'll say in the course of joining together to eat and drink is we're going to hear the words of Jesus saying to us, do this remembering me. How do we remember? Well, when I come to join in communion with other brothers and sisters in Christ, I have something that helps me. Just going to quickly give you. I don't do every part of it every time, but it's sort of what holds it together. I remember by looking inward and understanding my need of God, confessing my sin. I remember by looking back to the cross where Jesus took my place, died in my place, providing forgiveness for my sins. I remember by looking up. I look up to the risen Christ and the gift of his Spirit poured out, inviting me to live a life of freedom and power, peace and forgiveness. I remember by looking around. I'm not in this alone. You know, I'm so deeply grateful we could join together looking around to our brother Doug Brown this morning, but I look around to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I remember by looking forward, because God gives us hope. There's a promise that we have. There's a future, and one day Jesus is going to return and bring together heaven and earth, God's new heaven and new earth. And I remember by looking out at a world, that's people. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I remember by looking out. So all of those things form, in some sense, the remembering. Jesus saying, do this remembering me, the remembering that I do. But there's a remembering that for me is above that, it's below it, it surrounds it, it holds it all together. I remember Jesus at this table in remembering the God who remembers me. Sounds a little strange. I remember by remembering. I remember the one who remembers me. Now, Sam read that for us this morning in verse 5 of Psalm 111. When God first created the world, you know, life was wide, it was expansive, it was large, it was full, and it was rich. The Lord said of his creation, it's good. That's what he pronounced over it. And the first ones, Adam and Eve, they were told by God to enjoy it, to delight in it. It was for them, all of it for them, except for one tree. And they didn't listen to the Lord God. And so that beautiful, wide open, rich, expansive world that God had created for them became distorted and narrow and closed, turned inside out from what had been in the heart and what was in the intention of God. And God's response to all of that was to make a promise. And when God makes a promise, God keeps his word. He sticks by his word. He doesn't forget his word. And God said, it's narrow, but I'm going to make it wide again. And once again, life is going to be full and rich and broad. And so what happened is that God the Son, Jesus Christ, God himself came, born as one of us. The word became flesh to show us the way, to be the way for us, to take us from the tree in the garden to the tree or the cross in Calvary, where Jesus would set things right for us and for the world, for God's creation. And so it's in Jesus that we once again have the opportunity to live again in the wide open spaces, if you want to call it like that, the freedom, the fullness, the breadth and the height and the depth and the width of what God's created for us. God created it wide. We caused it through Adam and Eve to become narrow, and God has opened it up once again and invites us to live in that by going through the narrow door of putting our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ. Picture with me three men hanging on crosses, dying. And in the center is Jesus, beaten to a pulp, bloodied. And he asks God the Father to forgive those who are sneering and mocking and insulting and ridiculing him. And one of the criminals hanging on one side of him made the choice to join the crowd and spit out his own venom at Jesus. But on the other side of Jesus hung a criminal who recognized that there was something about this one and that center cross, something different about him. And so he turned to Jesus and he said this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' answer to him was in effect, I am going to remember you. Because Jesus turned to him and said to him, I tell you the truth, today you are going to be with me in paradise. I will remember you, are the words Jesus spoke to him. And I think that that's a powerful prayer that that criminal spoke to Jesus. Jesus, remember me. Because it's as we put our trust and our confidence in God's promise, as we say our yes to Christ, we hear coming from the Lord God himself by the Spirit, I tell you the truth. Today you are going through that narrow door of faith in my life and my death and my resurrection for you into the wide open free spaces of the kingdom of God. Coming to the table this morning is at its depth or its height or its breadth and width, it's about remembering the God who remembers you. And this is about knowing that God has taken very deep and real interest in you. This is understanding. Grab hold of this, that God couldn't forget you if he tried. He can't. He won't forget you. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, for you, to set you free and to give you the good news of a new life that's wide and open now and is only going to get more wide and more open wonderfully in the life to come. This morning, it may be that you're here, you've come this morning, and your life is being lived at just such a high level. You feel like that Canadian high jumper that won gold at the Olympics. You know, you're just literally leaping with joy and delight. As you come to the table this morning, remember the one who remembers you and make it your prayer. Jesus, remember me. Now, it may be that you're here this morning and you haven't got the strength to get over that bar of the high jump at its lowest level. And you fought hard to drag yourself here this morning. That's where you find yourself in your life this morning. You feel like, I'm just bone dry. I'm arid when it comes to any sense of the life and the presence and the power of God in my life. Come to this table and remember the God who remembers you. And make it your prayer as you eat and drink this morning. Jesus, remember me. That's just a simple prayer of trust and confidence, of opening up your heart and opening up your life and opening up your hands. Don't hold them. Release them. Open them up to the God who remembers you, the God who's going to keep His word to you, the God who's made promises to you as part of the family of God that He will not forget. This is not a legal contract that God makes with us. You know, sometimes contracts can get broken. This is a covenant. It doesn't get broken. Sam read Psalm 111, verse 5. God remembers His covenant forever. Come remembering the God who remembers you. I want to show just a short video, if you can get it ready to go, just in a moment. It's about a husband and a wife. Just hang on to it for a second. It's the husband's name, Robertson, great name, eh? But that's his Christian name, Robertson McQuilkin. His wife's name is Muriel. And Muriel had early onset Alzheimer's. And Robertson, he was the president at the time of Columbia Bible College and Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. And he was really at the height of his career. But he decided he was going to resign, 1990. And all the counsel he got from other Christian leaders within that institution and across the United States and around the world who knew him was, no, you don't have to. You can get somebody to look after Muriel. You don't have to resign. You can keep moving forward. You can keep going forward. God's got great things to do through you as the president of this Bible college and seminary, and even after that, beyond that, more. And he said no. And he resigned it all to be full-time with his wife Muriel in 1990. By 1992, she was no longer able to recognize him. She died. Muriel died in 2002. I just forgotten the name of the book. I think it's called A Promise Kept. He kept his promise. Marriage, you see, is a covenant. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. He kept his promise, and it's a story. It will fail at certain points. It's not exact linkage to God's covenant of love for us. But just watch this 2 minutes, and as you're watching the story, let it carry you to that spot and that place where you remember the one who remembers you in your need.
I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror. And when she can't get to me, there can be anger. She's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times. And you see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word. But as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 40 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly, and you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
God keeps his promises, does not forget you. God keeps his covenant forever. The Lord remembers you. The scriptures show us that Jesus was always the guest. It could be in the home of Peter, it could be in the home of Jairus or Martha or Mary, but he was always the guest. Jesus was the guest at the mealtimes of the wealthy, where he spoke to them about the need of the poor. He was always the guest. Jesus was the guest at times where he upset all of the polite company, and he befriended isolated people. He welcomed the stranger. He called the stranger into the center of the time. He was always the guest. But here at this table, the table where we remember the God who's remembered us, Jesus is the host. It's not a Presbyterian table. It's not the table of the elders, not the table of the pastor. This is the table of the Lord. And those who come to this table wishing to serve Jesus must first allow themselves, all of us, to be served by the host of this table. Those who want to follow Jesus must, first of all, come to be nourished, fed in faith by Christ. And this is the table where the heart of God's love for us is to feed us and to nourish us, to strengthen our understanding and experience of his covenant love for us. It's here that Jesus can make things that are old new for us. Come, all of you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a world that's better, that's fair, that's more equitable, Jesus Christ is the one who's here at this table, ready, willing, here to serve us. He invites us to come and be his guests. Come to this table, whether it is that you have overflowing faith or whether your faith is really you feel at a very minimal level, all of you come. Come, remembering the one who remembers you. My dear friends, Jesus has prepared this table for everyone,